My first thought on announcing 10 consecutive sermons to the unsaved was that the saved folks would go unfed. The more I think about it, the more I realize that the plan of salvation is food to the saved people too. Our Lord said to Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Thou knowest that I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." Again, our Lord said, or asked, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Peter said, or the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." And again, the Lord said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, I've told you before, I love you, thou knowest I love you." And the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." Now, what was the Lord talking about? He's talking about getting folks saved. Peter did feed the sheep. When did he feed the sheep? On Pentecost, when 3,000 folks were saved. That's right. Listen, our Lord talked about a sheep. He didn't mention saved people. He talked about unsaved people. He said there were 99 in the flock, and one was out, a lost sheep. Jesus was at Sychar's well, and the apostles said, "We're hungry." And they went down to Sychar to get something to eat. They came back and brought food to Jesus. And they said, "Lord, don't you want anything to eat?" And he said, "No." He said, "I have meat to eat you know not of." What meat was that? He had just won a soul. He had just gotten that lady saved. That was meat. You see, every once in a while, some of these deeper life crowd, these folks that go down deep, stay down long, come up dry, always criticizing evangelists because they're going to feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep. In the first place, all they've got's goats. But feed the sheep, feed the sheep. They don't know the Bible very well. When our Lord spoke about meat, he was talking about the plan of salvation. Listen, brother, if you do not rejoice and cannot be fed, when you stop to realize the grace of God has brought salvation to you, your spiritual thermometer is really cold. Really cold. I want to say this, and I haven't started preaching yet. I want to say this. If you're not saved tonight, you better give some real consideration to what I say. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, the average person has very few chances to be saved? Oh, why you say, "Preacher, the honest truth is I can get saved any time." But you won't. You won't. The average person doesn't have that many times in his life where he can get saved. Now hold it. He could if he would. But no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. And that means that if you get through these days and not saved, then chances are you'll have very few, if any other, good chances to get saved. I beg you, you've got a soul. Whether you like it or not, you've got it. Whether you want to or not, you've got to die. I don't want to, but I've got to. You've got to die. And whether you want to or not, you've got to go to heaven or hell. Now, like it or not, you've got to face it. Now, you may as well face it tonight as wait out yonder when you're in hell and then wish you had faced it. Now, look it in the eye, just square in the eye, and say, "Okay, I've got to die. I've got to go somewhere when I die, and I may as well take care of it." Good night, do it. What a fool you are to have beating in your breast an immortal soul and not know where it's going when you die. I want to speak tonight on Satan's shrewdest tactics. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Simple message, but true, every word of it. Satan's shrewdest tactics. In the Bible, it tells us that in heaven, before the world was created, there was a foreordinate council. God, and if you'll give me 5 minutes now of rapt attention, I think you'll want to hear the rest. God looked down into it in the future and saw Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God saw that man would sin. He saw that Adam and Eve would flee from his presence. And he saw that the curse, death, and hell would be upon man. And the Bible says that God had a foreordinate council. That means he gathered all the angels together. He gathered the archangels together. The Trinity was present. And God said, now man is going to sin. I love man. And I don't want man to perish. But my justice requires that payment for sin be made. What can we do, if you'll let me be a little bit in the vernacular? And Jesus, the Son of God, said, Father, man can't save himself because he's a sinner. No man can save another man because all are sinners. There's only one way out. I, who never have sinned, must go to earth and become flesh. I must live a perfect life without sin so that I can go to the cross and taste death for every man. I will go. I will live. I will die. I will get my soul into hell and pay the penalty for the sins of man. That is what the Bible calls the foreordinate council. Now, I believe that hell also had a foreordinate council. I believe when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Gabriel, Michael, and if Lucifer was there then, and the angels all got together. I believe as soon as Jesus said, I'll go die for the sins of men, I think there was a council in hell also. The Bible says nothing about this one. But I'm as sure as I am that I'm standing here that hell got together. And Satan said to all of his imps and demons in hell, now you saw, fellows, what God's going to do. You know what God's going to do. God is going to send his own Son into the world. And his Son's going to become flesh. He's going to live a perfect life above sin and go to the cross and take on himself the sins of all mankind. Now, we've got to do something. Now, we can't stop that. We've got to do something. We can to keep man from believing that Christ died for his sins. Now, in that foreordinate council, I think the devil made his plans to send your soul to hell. Now, hold it. If you will in faith come to Christ, the devil cannot touch your soul. The thing he's got to do is keep you from coming to Christ. So in this foreordinate council, when all the imps of hell got together, the devil and his angels made a plan whereby to keep you from believing in faith that Jesus is the Christ and trusting him as your Savior. I have four things here that I think were on the top shelf. I mean his shrewdest tactics. I think one little imp raised his hand and said, Dragon, Lucifer, I'd like to suggest something. And Lucifer said, all right, what is it, little imp? And the little imp said, I'd like to suggest this. Now listen carefully. I'd like to suggest, Your Royal Highness, the Prince of the Power of the Air, the God of this world, I'd like to suggest, Satan, that we not tell man to be irreligious. Let's don't make him be anti-God. Let's don't make him not believe in a God at all. For if he did not believe in a God at all, he would not realize his need of being saved. Or he would realize. But let's make him religious. Let's give him just the dose of believing in a God somewhere. And let's teach him to believe that as long as you're sincere, doesn't matter whether you believe in this God or this God or this God, as long as you're sincere, you're all right. And I think the demons of hell cheered and applauded as they realized that this little imp had come on a real idea. And so the devil, I believe this with all of my heart, more people will go to hell over religion than alcohol. I said to a man last night in my study, a person is here tonight who heard me say it. I said to that young man in my study last night, he told me about the church he went to, and he said, as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. And I said, I'd rather my child never walk inside a church as long as he lives and trust the religion about which you're talking. You see, it is better to have no religion than the wrong religion. Oh, I get weary up to hear of ladies who say, well, if my husband would just go to any church, I'd go anywhere with him. That's a cute little song and dance that came out of hell. What do you mean? If a church does not believe this book, it is of the devil. I'd rather my husband go to a tavern than a church that's of the devil. They asked me every once in a while, I'm going to preach a sermon on this not long ago. I'm going to preach a sermon on this. I preach one tomorrow, but I'm going to preach one not long ago about this, and it'll be a long go before I get through. But I'm going to preach on why I am not cooperating in the inter-city faith union work with the minority groups. Fellow within a few yards of where I stand now, dresses like a mother, and they call him father, has said, Reverend Hiles won't cooperate. Well, you better know Reverend Hiles won't. As long as I stand behind this pulpit, this church will cooperate with no church unless it believes that Jesus is the Son of God and this book is the Word of God. Mockery. So more people will burn in the fires of hell because this little imp said, let's get them religious. Let's inoculate them with just enough religion so they won't want a big dose. Let's vaccinate them with just a little bit of religion. That thereby keeping them from ever catching it. What happens? All will think they're okay. Maybe they'll even think it themselves. I was on an airplane going to Sioux City, Iowa, about 8 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago, for a conference. The fellow sat down beside me, one of the funniest things I ever heard in my life. I started witnessing to him. This has got to be one of the funniest things that ever happened. I started witnessing to him. And I said, sir, are you a Christian? Well, he said, I believe in, not like you believe it, but I believe in a God. And he said, the way I see it, we're all going to the same place. And now this is, get ready for this, boy, because I'll tell you, this has got to be the funniest. Some of you are ahead of me already. He said, I believe we're all going to the same place. He said, this is the way I see it. As long as you're sincere, there are many, many ways to get to the same place. And he said, that's the way I see it. And so the lady came by to check our ticket. And we were up in the air about 15,000 feet. And she said, "You going? Where are you getting off? He said, Kansas City. She said, where? He said, this plane is going to Kansas City, isn't it? She said, no, it's Sioux City. Oh, he said, I patted him on the knee and I said, it doesn't matter. As long as you're sincere, as long as you're sincere, doesn't matter. Just be sincere. You'll end up, we're all going to the same place. You know, he didn't appreciate that very much. He really didn't. He got off the next corner and went back home. Listen. I don't care how sincere you are, we were going to Sioux City. And our Savior said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto Father but by me. Not the church, not religion, not confession, not confirmation, not baptism, not communion, not sacrament. Jesus is the way to heaven. Any other way is a false way. You can be as sincere as you want to, but you'll end up in hell unless you come the way toward God. Then Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the little imp said, let's teach him just to join any religion. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A man sat in my office and said this. He said, I belong to a certain religion, and I believe in it. And I said, let me ask you a question. If you went to that church for 10 years, would you know any more Bible than you do now? And he said, well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I said, does that, what they call him? Does he ask you to read the Bible? No. Does he teach the Bible? No. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this book has the road to heaven in it. If you don't know this book, you can't know how to get to heaven. May I say again, as I said before, if you're trusting the fact, if I ask you tonight, if I ask you right now, are you saved? And you said, yes, I'd go to heaven if I died, and I said, why? What would you answer? Let's start over here. What would you answer? If I ask you, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? if you died tonight, would you go?
What would you answer? What would you say if I said, how do you know?
If you said, yes, I was baptized, then you're not going to heaven. If your answer to that is sincerely, yes, I belong to a certain church, then you're not going to heaven. If your answer to that is, yes, I took communion, then you're not going to heaven. The honest, simple truth is, there is no shrewder tactic of the devil than to get you to join some church or some religion and yet not be born again and make you think that as long as you're sincere, you're all right. You know, I'm glad our church is built on the Word of God. And I'm glad for something else, too. same fellow said to me, and I use him because there are millions of people in this area that are blinded by a religion that is built on closing the Bible rather than opening the Bible. He said to me, I'll take the priest and the Pope's word for it. And I said, you're a fool. You've never seen the Pope, and yet you'll put your never-dying soul in the hands of a man you never saw. By the way, I saw him. When I was in the Holy Land, I came within, nearly as close as you and I right now. I came close enough to where I gave him a cert. Almost, not quite. But I've seen him. But I'll tell you what, brother, I would not trust my soul to anybody's word outside of what the Bible says. Don't you believe Jack Hiles unless he shows you the Bible. Not what the church says. Not what the preacher says. Not what the Pope says. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, you're criticizing the Pope. You better know it. When he stands up and says, kiss my toe, you better know I'm criticizing it. All praise and exaltation and glory and honor and majesty belongs to him. The time a man goes to dressing himself up and says, bow before me, he's getting in the way of somebody I'm very fond of. He says, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, then just get your money back of the offering plate and trot out the door. It's your trouble now. You never heard a prophet preach. You never heard anybody tell you that there's one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. I heard about a reverend came down. He saw this Irishman, Pat, and he said, Pat, I understand you've been going to the Baptist church. Pat said, glory to God, Father, I got saved. He said, what? He said, yes, sir. He said, I've read the Bible. You've been reading the Bible? No, I said, I'm supposed to interpret the Bible for you. You're not supposed to read it. I'm supposed to tell you what it says. And Pat said, no, I've been checking over in Peter. It says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said, I've just been drinking milk. And the father said, I know, but said, it's like a milkman. He said, I'm the milkman, you see, and I bring the milk to you. He said, I've been taking that milk from the dairy and said that the butter fat is awful low. He said, I just got my own cow, Father. Get your own cow. What does the Bible say? The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible said, except you be born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy hath he saved us for the washing of regeneration. The Bible says, you've got to get born again to go to heaven. And that's all that matters. What does the Bible say? I don't like that loud preaching. Well, I'm just keeping you awake, that's all. The lady when I first came here said, I don't like that loud preaching. I said, sister, what I preach, you wouldn't like it if I whispered it. Ask you a question. Have you been born again? Or have you swallowed the devil's shrewd tactic of saying, get religious. Don't believe the Bible, but get religious. Cain, don't be an atheist. Bring an offering, but not a blood offering. Adam, be religious. Make yourself a covering, but make it yourself and not of a blood sacrifice. All across the city of Hanlon and all across Indiana and the Chicagoland area and around the world tonight, false religions without a Christ that died on the cross, without the blood, without the new birth, without born again, without regeneration. for standing and preaching a message that has no new birth in it and no blood in it and no regeneration in it. The devil's shrewd tactic of trying to get you to hell, because in the foreordinate council of hell, he planned it so. But there's another tactic. Little imps, one method will not be sufficient for all. You know, we're going to have people out yonder when man multiplies, but they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're not going to swallow this matter of just joining a church or getting religious. What else can we do? One little imp throws his hand up and says, "Your Majesty, the Prince of the power of the air, the God of this world." "May I make a suggestion?" "Yes, you may, little imp. What do you have to say?" The little imp says, "I'd like to suggest that those that won't join a false religion and almost be saved but not, I'd like to suggest that we put the fruit of being saved in front of the being saved and teach people, if they'll have the fruit of salvation first, that they're saved. For example, Your Royal Highness, Lucifer, I'm suggesting this." I'm suggesting that all of us know that Jesus is going to ask folks after they get saved to get baptized. Why don't we just take that baptism and put it on the other side of salvation and say you've got to get baptized to get saved? And I think the old smutty face said, "Hey, that's a good idea." And all the little imps clapped their hands in glee. And so they said, "Let's put the fruit before the new birth." And so people have been plunging their souls into hell ever since there's been a human race, because they said you've got to get baptized to get saved. They put the fruit on the front side of salvation. And the truth is, you're supposed to get baptized because you're saved, but they say get baptized in order to be saved. And hell is full of people who trusted the fruit. Same thing is true about church membership. Our Lord says after you get saved, you ought to join the church. And so the devils in hell have thought of a plan whereby you join the church so you can be saved. Folly! Folly. Our Lord says after you're saved, you ought to take communion, or the Lord's Supper I like better. He says you ought to take communion. But the devils in hell said, "Let's teach them, Lord, that since you have to take communion, or should take it after you're saved, you have to take it to be saved." Our Lord says after you get converted, you ought to attend the church. And the imps in hell say, "Let's teach them that you've got to attend church to be saved." Our Lord says you ought to work for God and do good things and do good deeds and good works. And so the little imps in hell say, "Let's transfer it and teach them that you ought to do good things so you can be saved." Our Lord says you ought to be separate from the world after you're saved. And so all the little imps in hell have devised a plan whereby you separate from the world so you can be saved. Our Lord says that you ought to love each other. And so the little imps in hell say that let's make it you got to love to get saved. There is not one place in the Bible that says you've got to do anything to get saved apart from put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and get born again. Nothing. Ah, but the little imps in hell delight. And they see a person who comes and says, "I'm saved because I'm baptized." How the imps in hell laugh in glee because they have gotten the fruit of salvation and put it as a means to salvation. And they've got you on your road to hell because you've got a fruit in front of the salvation. I believe you ought to get baptized. I think if you're not baptized by immersion since you got saved, you're not completely or perfectly in the will of God. But, brother, if you're trusting that water to save you, you'll end up in the same hell where all the other unsaved folks will end up. I believe in joining a church. I think every Christian ought to have an old-fashioned gospel-preaching, Christ-honoring church and ought to attend it and be faithful. But if you're trusting the fact that you belong to a church to save you, a man said to me today, a fine man, he's here tonight, I think he trusted the Savior today. He said to me, a certain kind of deal that he wanted me to help him with. And he said to me, he said, "Well, I guess I'll have to join the church in order to go through with it." And I said, "No, you won't. No, you won't." I said, "I'm not in the bargaining business." I said, "The truth of the matter is you'll never join this church as long as you live unless I think you're sincere and unless you put your faith in Christ and have trusted the Savior as your hope for heaven. A man came to Hammond, Indiana, a few years ago, and he came to my office and said, I'm to join your church. I said, why? He said, my company says I should. I said, why? He said, well, my company says that I ought to join the biggest church in town for business purposes. I'm manager of a store. My company says, join the biggest church in town for business purposes. I says, you'll never get in this church unless you change your tune completely. A church is a wonderful thing to join, but brother, whenever you get the place where you join it for anything other than obedience to Christ, then you've got the cart before the horse. You're not saved because you joined the church. And so the meeting continues. A little imp says, I've got an idea! I've got an idea! What is it? The imp says, Lucifer, God of this world, Prince of the power of the air, Your Royal Highness, I'd like to make a suggestion. Well, I know that Jesus is going to die for the sins of men, and I know that men who trust Him in faith will be saved, and we'll never take them to our place. They'll never come down here to hell. I'd like to make a suggestion. What is it, little imp? I'd like to suggest that we make man wait. You see, Your Royal Highness, some folks are going to believe the gospel. They're going to believe the Bible. They're not going to believe what we say about the Bible not being so. Some folks are going to know that religion not built on the Bible is not God's religion. Some folks are not going to join a church and get religious, and some folks are going to know that you're saved by grace through faith, and they're going to know and understand the plan of salvation. Now, what's your plan, little imp? And this little imp says, Your Royal Highness, I'd like to suggest that we tell people, go ahead and get saved. You ought to be saved. Okay, so you won't join a false church, but you ought to be saved. Sure, Jesus died for you. Sure, salvation's by grace through faith. Well, of course you ought to get saved, but... Wait a minute. Don't do it now. You're too young to be saved. Do it later. Listen to me. You're too young to be saved. Do it later. Of course get saved, but not now. Have your fun. Get saved when you're old. The honest, simple truth is, my precious friend, only one person in every 200,000 gets saved after he's 30 years of age. Why? Because as you march toward eternity, as you march toward eternity without God, there's a lion that's drawn, your heart will get hard, or God will withdraw His Holy Spirit from you, and you'll not be saved though you live and breathe, and though you go to church, you'll not be saved. Why? You've crossed the line! If the devil can say, as you travel down toward eternity, a line is drawn by us unseen, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of men from glory to despair. And as you march toward that line, you don't know when you'll cross that dead line. You don't know when you cross the line after which you've crossed, you'll never be saved. You'll never feel the tug of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll live and breathe and eat and sleep, but your soul will be condemned to hell forever. You don't know where that line is. It may be tonight. It may be back at the door of that building tonight. It might be over here at this door. It might be back at this door. It might be at the door of your car. It might be at your bed tonight. You'll cross the line, and God will say, let him alone. But as you march toward that line, as you march toward eternity and toward that line over which when you cross it, you'll never have a chance to get saved, though you still live and breathe. God knows where it is. As I said this morning, as you get close to that line about here, God says, Holy Spirit, get him hard. Try hard to get him saved. Angels, go down and try to get him saved. He's almost across the line. Preachers, soul winners, work hard. But as sure as the Holy Spirit of God works hard, the devil works hard too. As the devil sees you coming closer and closer and closer, the devil says, be saved, but not now. Wait, for he sees that line you don't see. Wait. Put it off. Sure, be saved, but not now. What's the hurry? You've got plenty of time. You're young. Don't worry about it now. Sure, get saved. And the imps in hell rejoice when you say maybe tomorrow. how many people have sat in these pews right here. And I've walked back and put my arm on their shoulders and I've said, won't you be saved? And they say, not late. Most of them never have been saved yet and never will. Well, I don't go back often. When I feel impressed to go back and place my hand on the arm or shoulder of an unsaved person, I call heaven and earth to witness. And the devil says, not tonight. Put it off. You come closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Tonight, who knows where that line is? God knows. The devil and his angels know, but you don't know. But one of these days, as sure as I'm an inch high, you're going to hear the last gospel sermon you've ever heard in your life. You're going to feel the last conviction. Oh, you say, I may live to be 90. Yeah, and you may live the last 50 of those years without a chance to get saved, too. Because the Holy Spirit of God will say, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Tell you something. I'm just weary of people getting a degree on the end of their names and thinking all of a sudden they know more than God does. I know what some of you folks do. You come out First Baptist Church and hear an old-fashioned, red-hot gospel preaching sermon where the Holy Ghost of God works and the gospel is preached, and you say, well, I just don't believe that it's okay for those poor white trash. Let me tell you, my precious friend, whether you believe it, like it or not, the Bible's true, and the God you reject will judge you one day. And what this old wicked sin-cursed nation needs is a generation of preachers who will follow the gospel again and call people to God. You've got to get born again or you're going to hell. Yeah, if you've got a Ph.D. and an M.A. and a D.D. and a L.I.T.T.D. and a L.H.D., you've got to get born again. But wait, says the devil. Wait. 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 Don't do it while the pressure's on. You see, I want to make my own decision. If you'd have done that about marriage, not a single person here would ever have gotten married. If somebody could have gotten to the moon and destroyed that thing years ago, it would have saved you a lot of heartache. The pressure was on. Good night, Chanel number 5, and the moon, and soft breezes. If it had been no moon, you had perspiration number 5 instead of Chanel number 5, it never got you. The honest truth is, that's what the Holy Spirit is for, to persuade you to be saved. While the pressure's on, you better get saved. That's the best time to get saved. There's a little imp that says, let me suggest something, Your Royal Highness, God of this world, Prince of the power of the air, let me suggest something. Let me suggest it. We go down and tell the people that God has chosen the ones that are going to be saved. And that if you're not chosen, you can't get saved anyway. And if there's a time coming, that's your time. Now let's tell them that salvation is by grace through faith. But let's tell them that you can't get saved till your time comes. I wonder how many people will be in hell because they're waiting for their time. Do you know when your time was? Your time was the first day in your life you committed a sin and knew it was a sin against God. And realized that Jesus Christ died in your place on the cross. Your time came. And brother, that's all you're going to get. The honest truth is, there'll be millions of people burning in hell because some hottentot Dr. Drysdust, Dr. Mess-em-up, sat behind a desk in some school and deluded the minds of young men who wanted to know the truth. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't believe that Jesus Christ looked down and said, I'll save that one and not that one. Well, you say God's a sovereign God. You've got to know God's a sovereign God. And he said that sovereign God said he's not willing that any should perish under repentance. And the devil says, we'll tell him salvation's right. But wait till your time. Wait till your time. I'll close my eyes and walk in the world of darkness with Billy for a minute. Somewhere tonight, there's that land about which you spoke and sang a while ago. I will meet you in the morning on the bright riverside where all sorrow has vanished away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide at the close of last long, weary day. I'll meet you in the morning. Somewhere, if you listen carefully, shh, you can hear the redeemed as they sing. Listen carefully, and you'll hear that Mary Magdalene saying, Master, Master. Listen carefully, and you'll hear her shouts of praise. Oh, they tell me of a land of the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a land where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by. Out yonder somewhere tonight, all the redeemed sing and praise God. But out yonder somewhere with eyes, my eyes closed, I can see the place of the unprepared. And I'll tell you tonight, hell hath enlarged herself for the myriads and myriads of people who think they're going to heaven and think they're saved because they got religious. Hell hath enlarged herself because of the millions who've gone there because they tried to put the things after salvation as a means to salvation. Millions have gone there because they've been taught a perverted doctrine that this is not your time. When your time comes, you'll know it, they say. Your time has come, and I'm telling you now to know it. But millions, far millions, many millions, will be in hell because the devil said, okay, Jesus died for you. Okay, you're a sinner. Okay, heaven's real. Okay, I'll admit it. There's a hell, has fire. Okay. And you ought to get saved. I want you to get saved. But not tonight. But not tonight. Not tonight. Not tonight. I close with this. If ever was a little hardened sinner, it's me. If ever was. When I was a kid, I don't mean I was mean. I never cursed as a kid. I wasn't rebellious. But I was afraid of water. I knew if I got saved, I ought to get baptized right away, and I was afraid of water. And I wouldn't get saved. I've always had, as you know, been a little independent kind of a cuss. And I've always wanted to know why. And they just didn't reach me because the Sunday school teacher was sweet to me. I just wanted to know I was saved. And one night in the services, they came to that stanza. Used to sing it quite a bit years ago for invitations. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh, then be wise. Be saved, oh, tonight. Dear friend, you've got to die. You've got to die. Yeah, you've got to die. Man. You've got to die. Yeah. We'll be reading somebody in a pulpit. So-and-so passed away at the hospital this afternoon. Your name will be on one of those cards one of these days. The shh of the funeral chapel carpet. And loved ones will come in. And sitting around the casket that contains your body will be a few people with a handkerchief. And loved ones and friends will walk up and squeeze their arm and say, I was so sorry to hear about it. Now, you don't like to think about that, but you better
because you've got to die. Who are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Oh, well, you say, Brother Hobbs, I have my Ph.D. Now, that doesn't mean you're a post-hole digger where I came from. You've got to get born again. You've got to get born again. The Bible doesn't say except everybody under the Ph.D. gets born again. You've got to get born again. Well, you say, I'm a banker. Okay, banker, you've got to get born again. Well, you say, I teach English. Okay, one but a pity with the shortest thorpe, but the off of march is cursed to the lothi and bothered of the vein and speech liqueur. But you've got to get born again. That's Chaucer, in case you want to know, you illiterate people. Listen, Brother Hiles, I love the arts, okay? So live that when thy summons comes to join the innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, go thou not as the quarry slave at night scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust. Approach thy grave as one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. That's William Cullen Bryan in Thanatopsis. But you still got to get born again! You've got to die, and you've got to go to heaven or hell. Now, which is it? Which is it? Which is it? There's something that beats in here that will never die. When the heart has stopped beating, that will still beat. There's something in here that when the doctor said it's a boy or it's a girl, now Bynes is one of the two. The doctor said it's a boy, it's a girl. There's something started beating in there. And that something's going to beat 1,000 years from tonight. And that something's going to beat 1,000,000 years from tonight. And that something's going to beat when the sun is melted and the moon is blushed the last time. That something's going to beat when the stars have dropped as untimely figs from the fig tree. That something's going to beat when the valleys have become mountains and mountains have become valleys. That something's going to beat when Jupiter is no more and Mars has refused to shine. That something is going to be beating. Where will it be? Where would it be? The only hope you have for it to be with God in heaven is for you to pause on your journey toward eternity and say, dear God, I'm a sinner and I know it. I can't save myself and I know it. And the church can't save me and I know it. And I know Jesus went to the cross, the just for the unjust, and paid the price for my sins. And dear God, now, I trust Jesus as my Savior. And I mean it. The moment that faith makes contact with God, He writes your name in heaven, and you have been born again. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we've tried. You know we've tried. We've taken the risk of making some mad, and we've made some mad. We did it for Thee and for the souls of men. We've made fun, and we've mocked, and we've ridiculed, and we used satire. We don't want to do it, except we did it for You and for the souls of men. Oh, God in heaven tonight, reach down and shake this building with conviction. May grown men realize they've got a never-dying soul. May ladies realize that in their breast there beats a soul that'll live forever. The young people say yes to God. May there be tonight a moving in this building like we've seen these days, where it'll be easy to be saved. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. May I ask you a question on the lower floor? Are you going to heaven if you die it now? Are you going to heaven if you die it now? Every eye is closed, please. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, would you close your eyes, please? Every eye is closed, please. Out of courtesy and decency, if you even that's all you have it for. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm going to heaven, and I know it. I've been born again. And if I had time and could make a speech, I could get up and tell you about it. I'm born again, and I know it. I'm going to heaven. If I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, and I know I would. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the house. All over the house. All over the house. God bless you. You can lower your hands. I wonder how many who would not raise your hand then. Oh, my precious friend, in God's name. Remember, you've got to die. You've got to face God. I wonder how many on the lower floor first. You'd say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand, for I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that if I died tonight, I would go to heaven, but I wish I did know it. Pastor, pray for me on the lower floor. Would you raise your hand, please? Way up high. God bless you. Who else? Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4. God bless you. On my right over here. That's wonderful. Over here. I didn't see it on the left. Raise your hand again. God bless you, sir. I see you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. God bless you, little lady. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? You want to know that you're saved. You want to know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You'd say, pray for me. Raise your hand, please. On the lower floor. Way up high. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Fellows, help me better than that now. Help me carefully.
All right.
Thank you. All the others, please. On the lower floor. You want to know that you're saved. You want to know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. On the lower floor. Way up high. Please, quickly, hurry. God bless you. God bless you. All the others. In the balcony on my left. The east balcony. You'd say, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm born again. But I want to know it. Raise your hand, please. God bless you. The east balcony, on my left. Who else will raise your hand? And say, pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Raise your hand, please. In the center balcony. Would you say, pray for me that I might be saved and know it? The center balcony. Would you lift your hand, please? The balcony on my right. God bless you. All the others. Quickly, all the others. May I see your hand, please? Now back to the lower floor. You'd say, Brother Hiles, I know there's a heaven. I believe the Bible, but I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I want to know. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand, please, on the lower floor. God bless you, son. God bless you. And God bless these two back here. God bless you. Three, God bless you. I see you. All the others on the lower floor. All the others. Our Heavenly Father, we have cried. You know we have. And I pray now that you would take what we've said and what the Spirit has spoken in these hours and days and speak to the hearts of these. Especially those who are here tonight. May they say yes to God. May this be the night. Now our heads are bowed. In a moment we're going to stand and sing. When we do, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat. Come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and prepare to meet your God tonight. Say yes to Christ. Don't wait. I want you to come on the first stanza. Don't let the devil have a chance to talk you out of it. And come and say yes to God. Sir, you come. Lady, you come. Teenager, you come. Child, you come. And say, I want to be saved tonight. If you're here and ought to get baptized, then you come. If you're here and want to join a Bible preaching church, we invite you to come. We'll write and get that membership for you. Oh, God, tonight, move in our midst. Shake the lives and hearts of people who need thee. And may everyone in this building walk out of this building being able to sing. I'll sing it. I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know the joy of salvation that makes my heart full. For I have been born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand, please?